Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. My guest for this morning is Dr. Sophie Nubani. She is a creative and an interpersonal executive coach who helps people release emotional pain to reach a higher mental state. She is a certified laughter yoga instructor, NLP coach, and master practitioner, social and emotional intelligence coach, motivational coach, Reiki 3 teacher, and EFT-TFT practitioner. Dr. Sophie is also an ordained minister with an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree. She is currently finishing her doctorate in spiritual development and pursuing a PhD in transpersonal counseling. Dr. Sophie and I will be having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and her new book, Optimize Your Creative Mindset. Good morning, Dr. Sophie. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. It is a pleasure to have you on the air with me. Optimize Your Creative Mindset is a tremendous read. The book is a treasure trove of knowledge and wisdom for anyone who is interested in elevating their creative energy. This is your go-to manual. I am convinced they will experience a new mastery of their creativity. So congratulations on your book launch.
Yes, official book launch for Optimize Your Creative Mindset.
Wonderful. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment. And Dr. Sophie, we have the whole hour.
Well, that might take the whole hour. We'll make it nice and brief for you. So I am originally, I was born in Amman, Jordan, in the Middle East, and through my childhood, I lived in different countries as an adult as well. So I lived in Oman by Dubai, Sultanate of Oman, for 14 years as I was growing up to middle school, and then 3 years of my life, I lived in Jordan going through high school there, and then I lived in Cyprus, and from there, Morocco, and back here in Orlando for the past 25 years, and it was a pretty interesting journey to live in different countries and connect with different cultures and backgrounds, and I just like that experience of being able to connect with individuals and people in real life. It is very fascinating to me, and I do love traveling at this time of my life because of my early childhood exposure to different cultures, and it's always intrigued my curiosity in learning more about people, traditions, backgrounds. And being in the U.S. was very diverse and beautiful because we do have a lot of different backgrounds here, and also was a reason why I stayed here the longest.
That's fantastic. That sounds wonderful. You really epitomize the concept of life as a buffet line. You got to go taste everything.
There you go. I like that. Yes. It makes it more colorful, beautiful, and joyous, definitely.
I totally agree. Are you a naturally creative person when you were growing up?
Well, let me tell you that as a child, I used to really draw a lot and paint, and our principal of school, we call him the headmaster at that time.
Right.
Yes, and he would have like my artwork in his office. You know, like I would win contests in school for that, and I love doing clay, and also I enjoyed doing you know, like birthday cards, I would do card crafting. So I would actually do my own cards and wish my friends happy birthday doing them. As a child, you know, and teenage as well, I had that kind of thing. So I would say that is artistic. I also enjoyed a lot of my gymnastics dance routines and create new routines. I remember having my younger brother and making him, like, watch and practice. And so I would consider that being a little creative for a child, you know. In other words, I was not... you know, I was exploring and interactive with different activities that relate to that area. So that would be the things I've done as a child growing up.
Very, very interesting. I'm sure that followed you to your adult life. What was the most creative thing or project you ever did?
Oh, the most. Okay. You know, quite frankly, my upcoming book, Optimize Your Creative Mindset, of how it came along, you know, I was very interested in writing a book prior to that 2 years. I actually went to a WOW book camp and met some amazing friends that me and one of them are actually launching our book together. We didn't even know it. We were just like talking, and like her book launch and mine was the same day. But it was really cool. But, you know, things happen in life. And the reason I'm sharing this with you and our audience and people who are listening is that so many times you hear about someone saying, you know, I'm writing a book, I want to write a book, and it takes them a long time to actually get that to fruition. And I could see why. Because it is a process, and it takes a lot more than what the eye can see. Writing is one thing, and then getting it to actual existence and publishing and all that requires a lot of extra work that people don't see behind the scenes, because all we get and what I got in the past is a book, you know. And even though my dad authored 4 books and published them, I was never engaged in the total process because he did them later in his life while I wasn't, you know, living there. And he's abroad a lot, and when he published them, he was overseas, so I wasn't engaged in the detailed process. However, I would say this book journey has been really activating a lot of my creative juices and leading to innovation and existence. And I have discovered a lot of things about myself in this journey, and I had a lot of creative growth going through the process, which I learned from this. So this would be the most creative, I would say, put together in a form. Of course, a lot of other things you do, I mean, there's a lot of creative things, but I think that to heart and depth, this would have been the most.
Fantastic. That sounds wonderful. How does curiosity leads to creativity?
Well, actually, curiosity, I would say, is the key to creativity and innovation. Because the only thing is, however, like now people mostly are incurious, and that is maybe because they're resisting, you know, change, and they're fixed in being in one place or so. But the truth is that when we are curious and we have like new information, idea generating, and spark new ideas, it boosts our creativity. And curiosity itself could be healthy and non-healthy, obviously. We're talking about healthy curiosity, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at unhealthy creativity, a 12-inch pound cake. No, I'm just kidding.
So now we know you like pound cake. Here you go.
That's right, with extra butter.
There you go. It's all the yummy feeling.
There you go. That's creativity to me. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Yeah, so intellectual curiosity is very healthy. It allows our growth, because when we are seeking information we are collecting a lot of new ideas and knowledge, things that were not previously within our reach and knowing. And what happens in the future when you run to something that you want to create? It's all about connecting the dots. You go back to information and you pick from what you learned before. So by asking questions and being in that frame of mind and practicing curiosity truly enhances your creative skills and abilities. And it is vital for creative growth. And so it is definitely leading to that. So they are very connected.
Very, very interesting. When did you discover spirituality?
As a child, I had this tendency to like to be alone, and I would really think and daydream and connect and meditate. I didn't even know that's called meditation, by the way, till I got older. I understood what meditation is and what I was naturally doing. However, I would say early 20s, I had started to encounter a lot of personal experiences that connected me to my inner essence and existence. Mm-hmm. And that opened me to understand more my role and purpose in life a little bit clearer, not to the fullest of what it is now, I would say. I had that question repeated in my mind quite a bit. What is my purpose? What is my purpose? When people tell you, what is your purpose? You know, in your 20s, you're trying to figure that out, you know, and I haven't really got clarity on that. So I was in my 30s. Early 30s, I started realizing, for my definition, I said, what are my gifts? And when I discovered and connected to what are my gifts, I became more aware of what my purpose is. And that all, connected me to become even more and more spiritual. So I realized that my gifts are, I love to empower, encourage, and literally uplift people as well as relax them. And I realize when you are naturally that person, that is your gift, because you don't even know that this is a gift because it's so natural in you that you do it without any effort. And it is so beautiful when we come to that realization and connect the dots between our gifts and our purpose and then serve that. And it becomes such a beautiful journey. So I would say around that time, in my teens, I've been, in that alone time and self-reflection. And as I got older, I developed more of that, and I started becoming more in tune with all my senses, more grounded, and being able to regulate my emotions better, understanding things differently, looking at them in a different perspective from that part of being existential and away from self and looking at things from a different angle. So it's a practice that was developed with time and is still developing and will continue, because what we know today is what we know. And tomorrow and another year, it's going to even evolve higher and more. So I would say that would be my best answer on that.
Wonderful. You're right, because we go through a process of refinement. And as the years goes by, it just gets better and better. And that's where you are at today. So that's fantastic. How did laughter mindset come into the picture?
Oh, very nice. So I am a person who always like to learn and take classes. And, you know, I'm like, okay, so first let's go back. In 2011, I had a major life change incident, which I lost my beloved mother, which was very close and dear to my heart. And I remember, Johnny, literally, while I'm in back home going to, you know, her last goodbyes, and we knew because she was passing with cancer, I literally knew that that was going to be a very tough time for me because of our relationship, and she was very amazing. I had booked a laughter yoga certification class, not a class to take, but a certification class to take just prior to arriving back to the U.S. from my trip, and, you know, saying my goodbyes and having my mom, you know, funeral and everything. That was in 2011, and I always understood the science of laughter, and that was something that I understood more going through the classes in a different way than we all like to laugh. You know, it's a natural thing. It's a childlike playfulness, and people are happy when they're laughing and so forth, but it's different when we understand what it's really doing internally to our bodies. And then we appreciate more, and it becomes, you know, a different light and exercise. I took a class, a coaching business class for peak performance with Dr. Bob Choate, who is the founder of Mindhack Academy. And through our sessions, we once burst into an irresistible laughter. We caught a laughter virus. It lasted over an hour. We both couldn't stop laughing. And I'm telling you, and we were talking about mindset and all that, and I'm like, Dr. Bob, mindset. And then he said, the laughter mindset. Literally, laughter mindset was co-founded by myself and Dr. Bob Choate under an uncontrollable laughter that lasted over just an hour. And I thought, can we die from laughter? Can you please stop? And this is through a Skype session. So it's not even, you know, one-to-one in that, but it is, laughter is contagious. And we found out there's this city in Africa that caught a laughter virus that lasted 2 weeks, two whole weeks. The whole city got caught the virus, and people just couldn't stop laughing. It was so funny. And then I said, okay, I understand. This could have been worse. It could have lasted way longer. And that's where it was formed. We created the laughter mindset and laughter mindset experiences and workshops. And from there, you know, we had the program for the MetaShift associated with the laughter mindset and so forth. So that's where it was. It 2.5 years ago, the laughter mindset program came to fruition. Yes.
Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Is there a correlation between spirituality and creativity?
Well, when you start to practice any form of, you know, writing or teaching or artistry, you know, painting, drawing, you become more aware of your identity and inner essence. So I think our spirit evolves and becomes more fully expressed when we are creative and we are connected more with our inner gifts and also expressing and sharing them. So you got to be inspired to create, so you are in spirit. And they are so connected. And truly, it is the gift of the connection between both that you are feeling most aligned and alive, because they are so connected in that form, I would say. It gives you more meaning, you know, like you feel more purpose, a sense of why I'm here. And life becomes more meaningful and joyous, I would say.
Very, very interesting. Over the years, how has a creative mind contributed to your life?
In many ways. And truly, a creative mind is very associated with a growth mindset. Creativity is to co-create again and do things on your, you know, you are creating and you are co-creating, and that really relates to growth a lot. And growth is what we are meant to be in our natural being. We are meant to grow, expand. That's why we're not infants till the end of our lives. And so is creativity. So for me, the courses, the classes, the experiences that I would put myself into and being open to new experiences all contributed to my creative mind till this moment. The openness and willingness to learn, taking smart risks, and all these little things all added to a creative mind that I am, you know, I will consider always tapping into often in my life.
Wonderful. That's very, very interesting. By the way, you're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. Our podcasts are available on Apple's iTunes, Stitcher's Radio, Blueberry Podcasting, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, and Google Podcasts. I'm Johnny Tan, your host, and my guest for this morning is Dr. Sophie Nubani. She is a creative and an interpersonal executive coach who helps people release emotional pain to reach a higher mental state. She is a certified laughter yoga instructor, NLP coach and master practitioner, social and emotional intelligence coach, motivational coach, Reiki 3 teacher, and EFT-TFT practitioner. Dr. Sophie is also an ordained minister with an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree. She is currently finishing her doctorate in spiritual development and pursuing a PhD in transpersonal counseling. We're having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and her new book, Optimize Your Creative Mindset. Dr. Sophie, why did you decide to write Optimize Your Creative Mindset?
Oh, a very near and dear to heart subject. Yes. In the summer of last year, in August, I knew that I wanted to write a book, and the subject that came to mind was on creativity, inspired by what I was witnessing around. And mind you, that was before us hearing about any world pandemic and changes and all that. I have noticed through a lot of my network and social media interaction that a lot of people were repeating the same exact message in a little tweak of a form, almost like a copy of that. You know, we heard about one law of, this is just an example, and I do believe in a law of attraction in a you know, and more of that for manifestation. But we heard of that for two decades, and it's very important, and it still exists and works. But you have many people who just went and learned that one area, and that's all they end up talking about, and that's the only thing they ever discussed, and there's nothing new to it. So I was seeking what I wanted to create, is what I felt challenged finding, is what I started thinking of, how can I create that? And then I started becoming more curious about it, and I was learning more about it, and I was like, you know what, this is very needed in our 21st century. And in fact, learning more about what companies were looking for, like IBM had a survey 15 years ago, and what are CEOs and big companies seeking in their employees so they would hire them. And creativity was number 10 on the list. 2019, they had another survey, and creativity was number one on the list. And I was looking at that and thinking, wow, this is pretty interesting. And that was when I just started, you know, thinking of creativity as a topic. Mm-hmm. And then I started feeling the need and importance of creativity, but not only creativity on its own, but creativity that will lead to innovation. Mm-hmm. Because it is very important to understand the bridge between both for optimal success. So then my mission was like, okay, I wanted to kind of realize, you know, the higher thinking of organizations and peoples, getting them to have a shift and breakthroughs in where they can get into supercharged imagination and ignited innovation. And this way, they can unleash their power of metacognition and think on a higher creative level. And that's how we can all perform at best and also produce at best is when we tap into that zone of creativity.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
That's really fantastic. How is your book different from other creative mindset books currently in the market?
Oh, okay, good question. you know, I haven't read all the books in the world on creativity, okay? So let's make that clear. with all due respect, I have some amazing mentors, like, you know, Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, Stephen Kotler. There's some really nice, amazing creative masters out there that I have so much respect and read a lot of their books and truly really, really benefited from my readings. And what I would say, we all go into a stage where we pick from an area and we grow from. That's how we have evolution, right? Black and white TV, plasma, digital, and so forth. So what I would say, the book consists of strategies and principles and concepts, which maybe other books as well have. However, I have created my own concept that's not out there. For example, the Yang and Yang vision board that I have created and the Circle of Creative Masters concept, which is really unique and very, very inspiring to those who will tap into actually understanding that concept as well. I think it is something that is not out there. So it's going to be new to the readers, to the world, because it was created. It was not duplicated. And it was not a copy or, you know, maybe similar to something out there. It is totally different. So that's what would make it have its own identity and twist for now because of the uniqueness of topics. Some areas, some people might be familiar depending on their creative curiosity in the past learning about certain things, right? But there is a lot of depth into different parts of the book. Even when I bring in different thinking styles, and I have talked to a few people that endorsed my book who actually read my book as well. So because of that, you know, the depth of evidence and research along line with information always gives the reader confidence and more assurance to understand better what does that concept represent and why. In areas that are already known, but it will expand their awareness to what is not very familiar that when you press Google, you're going to find everywhere. There are things there that it took me many hours and hours of separate individual researches on the same topic from many, 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 many different resources to come out with a conclusion or analysis or a suggestion. In one area, for example, that is, of course, aside of my own concepts, those are the ones I created and will be new out there. But the other areas, in many ways, I had that. So that would make it where it has its unique twist and flair, basically.
Very, very interesting. You're right. I love the book. It's very, very impressive. You also have some very impressive contributors to the book. Please tell us who they are.
I have quite a few. It will be a long list. It's a big book. You know, it is a book that you will probably need a notebook aside, write some notes. It's an educational book alongside of creative adventure in between of certain things that you can literally implement, apply, and use those tools in different times of your life that can be very helpful for your creative growth and innovation as a person. Me too. I personally grew a lot doing this book myself. It's us, it's everything. It's always good to learn anything that could be useful, effective, and helpful. I have, for example, like Dr. David Friedman, Dr. Lori Shemek, Dr. Bob Choate. I have Chitra. Me and we're talking about multiple award-winning authors and very known authorities, Bob Berg, Chris Salem, Davey Williams, Miss Pat Rogers, Lachelle Atkins, which is known as America's Supermom. Many of the contributors that are in the book have beautiful stories. Like Dr. Joanne White, you know, she has authored many books, have her own shows, and a lot of contribution in many ways. All have, in areas where I needed, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm writing about this. I have this as a concept. I have this. But how about this one person that I was curious in learning about their personality, how would they fit if their story, their personal story to that topic, for example, would inspire the readers to understand in depth how to be more creative and relate to the attributes and traits of creativity through real stories, you know? And that includes also, of course, not direct contributors, but they are contributors, like stories of real people, you know? Let's, I talk about Steve Jobs. He is a contributor in a different existence, you know what I mean? However, the book does really have amazing contributors that added the beautiful spice and flavor to its flow of information in the sense of relating to stories of real people and actual facts. And that's really inspiring to me. As I was even reading some of them, I was like, wow, I didn't know that, even though they were my people. Some of them I knew in person and some I didn't. But I was like, this is really interesting, even though I followed that person quite a bit of years on their, you know, books or this or that. I didn't know this part because it was related to creativity leading to innovation. So the information was a little bit more detailed and specific. In fact, there are some stories that I was told that were saved specifically to optimize your creative mindset. And I was very honored when Dr. David Friedman said that he actually shared a thing in this book that wasn't shared before. So I felt really excited and honored about that. And he just won an Academy Award for authors last year in his book Food Sanity, for example. So, yes, those are the contributors are amazing. And I'm very grateful that I was able to have Dr. Shanaz Nancy, which is an amazing holistic doctor with great experience and transformed many people's lives. And her story on creativity and cooking, for example, but in a different way with thinking styles, you see. That's an aspect that's not really touched around. You're not going to open your average book and see it or your average person talking about it. And actually, it's very unique. So it's going to be pretty interesting and exciting because it is very creative. So you go from this to this to that. So it's a very diverse combination of information.
Very, very interesting. You're so right about that. Your book started out telling people there are different thinking styles. So what are the higher thinking styles of creativity?
Well, there are different thinking styles. And a lot of people mainly think, okay, that if you're creative, you either convergent or divergent thinker, which is the foundation, by the way. You know, if you can learn those two, at least, it will give you an idea of the difference because of how our brain works and why we need both as a basic. However, there is a lot of different thinking styles, and they can be divided like in different, you know, categories, but there is abstract thinking, divergent thinking, there is holistic thinking, there is lateral thinking, blue sky thinking. You know, some people, when we talked about blue sky thinking, were like, wait a minute, what is blue sky thinking? I have never heard of blue sky thinking, you know?
Right.
And so, yes, those are higher levels. Once you know how design thinking works or lateral thinking works or blue sky thinking works, critical, abstract, convergent. Now when you're in a project and you have, whether it's on your own or you have a collaborative team in an organization that is actually seeking to make something, a goal met, and now they're on this creative project, you cannot have only divergent thinkers in the team because nothing will manifest to existence. You know, there has to be those decision makers, final makers. Every area involves a specific role to apply, and therefore the higher thinking creative styles are very very important tools for the creative masters who really seek to grow into their creative powers, which is within them naturally. They just have to tap into it and develop more of it. And that's how we all learn, you know.
That's true. Very, very true. How does imagination lead to innovation?
Imagination, like we say, everything starts with imagination. Nothing happens if there's no imagination. So let's take first innovation, you know, implementing something new, inventive, to be creative. It has to be, you know, never seen before or recognized, I would say. But imagination is where it starts in the thinking process. You know, you first imagine things, a place, a time, etc. You know, all these things. Like, well, you're not present in the action part, but it's in your mind. And then creativity is literally going back and tapping into that present part and doing something that is meaningful to your imagination, with your imagination, better word saying it. I mean, look at Walt Disney World. You know, that's a great example. Remember when he said, if you can dream it, you can do it. Always remember that the whole thing always started with a mouse. And now we have a Goofy, and we have Donald Duck, and we have all these different characters. And what made Disney so famous is imagination. You know, it started with imagination, and then that led to innovation. So the bridge between them is the process, but it's the base foundation, and the start is actually imagination, practicing imagination. A lot of people stopped imagining, stopped tapping into their imagination, and it became dormant because they got into such a default mechanism of living and routine that they don't make time to imagine.
That's true. Very, very true. So true. Does storytelling contribute to creativity?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Storytelling is very important. And first, I would say the story we tell ourselves repeatedly. So what story we tell ourselves first is going to contribute for us to be more creative or less creative. It's just like positive or negative affirmations, right? It's same kind of idea. And creative storytelling is actually the best way of delivering a story that's going to actually work and be effective more than anything else. So in today's time, we are very fortunate with technology because we are able to even make our stories more creative. And storytelling is, you know, a two-coin thing. You know, the story we tell ourselves, the story that we're making for others to hear what we are trying to explain, describe, sell, or promote, basically is all related to the story.
That's true. Very, very true. You're listening to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. Our podcasts are available on Apple's iTunes, Stitcher's Radio, Blueberry Podcasting, TuneIn Radio, Mixcloud, and Google Podcasts. My guest is Dr. Sophie Nubani. She is a creative and an interpersonal executive coach who helps people release emotional pain to reach a higher mental state. She is a certified laughter yoga instructor, NLP coach and master practitioner, social and emotional intelligence coach, motivational coach, Reiki-free teacher, and EFT-TFT practitioner. Dr. Sophie is also an ordained minister with an honorary doctor of divinity degree. She is currently finishing her doctorate in spiritual development and pursuing a PhD in transpersonal counseling. We're having a conversation about her remarkable life's journey and her new book, Optimize Your Creative Mindset. I'm your host, Johnny Tan. Dr. Sophie, can life challenges lead to growth in creativity?
Absolutely. 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 And the foundation of where when we create is very important. Some people with challenges, they break down or they break through. So when we face challenges, sometimes we are more pressured to really focus on our gifts and what we can find as solutions, and that is for like creative solutions and problem solving and so forth, and that helps us to grow. On the other hand, some people might not see it able to focus because of the lack of vision of possibilities. If we take a life challenge as an opportunity to create, we will break through, grow, and thrive in our creative visions, because you are going to operate from a different perspective than the one you are regularly feeling comfortable to operate from. The challenges and the degrees of the challenges vary, and that will be from one person to the other of how they can become more or less creative. Literally, you know, some people lose everything they have, everything. A man search meaning for life, Viktor Frankl, actually lost all his family. Literally, nobody was alive through the, you know, when he was in prison, you know, Hitler time and Nazis, and all his family literally was dying. Like, the sister that stayed also after a year or so passed away. And he ended up writing one of the best books ever sold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when he wrote his book, somebody stole all his content in camp, right? They stole it. But because when you write it, you can remember because you wrote it.
Right, right.
So he was able to retrieve and recall a lot of the information. And he's a psychologist, and he was one of the first people who actually was asked to speak in a university for psychology in Sweden at a time when he wasn't, you know, very known. And because of his very wise brain about solutions in psychology, mm-hmm. but because he had that personal experience himself.
Right.
So yes, challenges really contribute to creativity depending on how we choose to use the challenge as an opportunity to grow, or we choose to use it as an opportunity to shut down totally.
That's true. That's very, very true. So true. How do rhythmic breathing and laughing help enhance creativity?
Oh, that's a dear and near to heart subject, because remember, I'm also a laughter yoga instructor and a laughter mindset experience facilitator trainer. So oxygen and breathing and laughter, both are connected together anyways, but talking about it separately into creativity, when you have increased oxygen, you know, at a deep breathing, it really increases the levels in our bloodstream. And that helps raise our energy higher and our brain function. And when we have that, our brain is functioning on higher level performance. Because of our rhythmic breathing, we are able to create. It supports our creativity a lot more. There are different techniques also to help us during a creative process, because some people, while they are creating or being creative and they get stressed, it can be stressful. And so rhythmic breathing is very, very, very useful technique. And there's I'll share two with you here, and I'll leave the readers curious to a very powerful one, even for the OPCD people who are, you know, who have issues, asthma and so forth. It's also safe for them to use, and that is in the book. But box breathing, alternative nostril breathing is also very useful, very helpful. If you can do, like, you know, sessions where you do like a part, okay, there is you can do 2 minutes, 5 minutes, depending on the people's lung capacity, stamina, and ability to take deep breath. But with time, it starts getting better and better the more practice. But those techniques are so powerful to have, you know, more coherence in your heart, and this way you can think more clear when you are breathing better, your mind becomes more at ease. You don't have this adrenaline rush flow to your brain and lack of oxygen that disturbs your breathing flow and your creative flow as well. So it is very useful. So rhythmic breathing is a very good tool to have that will be a support to the creatives of the world, definitely.
Right, right.
So laughter, there is many benefits to laughter. One of example, because we're talking about creativity specifically, it stimulates the sides of the brain. So both sides of the brain, the hemispheres, which are responsible for learning, are really activated, both left and right, because humor will release the tension and it will make their more flexible in the way they are retrieving information, connecting the neurotransmitters and our own fluid, being more fluid as a person, as you are creating, as you're thinking, as you are more at ease. And sometimes after you laugh, you come up with an idea, like you're so happy. You know, you're laughing with your friends. It was like you're talking, this friend is imagining and dreaming one thing, the other is talking about what they want to do, and next thing, you know, everybody has new ideas because they're in a good spirit and good mood, and they're tapping into that creative zone of theirs, you know?
So true. That's very, very true. Please share with us your acronym of COURAGE as it relates to creative success.
Yes, that is, by the way, it's about 30 pages on the acronym, just so you know. So not to scare you here, but it's very detailed on each of what I will share with you as traits, if that is, you know, the question. COURAGE represents, the acronym represents, C is for curiosity, and O is for openness to new experience. U is for uniqueness. R is for risk tolerance. A is for attention. G is for gallantry. And E is for energy. And those are very important traits for someone who wants to develop their creative levels higher. Because there are different creative levels, and that's in the book in chapter one. We talk about, you know, creative, the C creatives, and I bring in, you know, the mini C, the big C, and medium C, and small C. So basically, those different creative levels can go from one to the other by us having the right creative traits to empower that step moving forward and tapping into our highest potential and levels of creativity. So that acronym represents those traits that I just mentioned. And curiosity, obviously we just discussed it. Openness to new experience. Without being open, you're never going to have enough experience. There's a difference between the knowing and the knowledge. So when you actually have experienced something yourself, the knowing becomes a lot more, and more, you're more confident about it. And that only happens by you being open to new experience and allowing yourself to explore as you're being curious. Otherwise, you're not going to have that yourself of the knowing. I tell you honey sweet, you believe it because you hear about it. But you taste the honey, and now it is a different knowing because now you know it's sweet for your own self. And then the uniqueness, the U for uniqueness. And that is a basic of creativity. Listen, we all connect things, you know. Even sometimes two people might come organically creating a new concept, but it might also be at the same time that they were thinking of the same concept without copying each other. And that could happen. It also could happen that you get two new concepts, which is very common with creative people, and you make your third concept out of it, which is really a lot of what's going on. But when we are tapping into our own uniqueness doing that, there's something magical that happens to it because uniqueness will bring and present your soul expression with that connection of energy to your creative endeavors, and it makes it a lot more valuable to the consumer and to those who are receiving your creative projects or whatever it is that you are trying to do, whether it is a product or a system or a curriculum and so forth. And then the R is for risk tolerance. Creativity requires us to step into the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Without doing that and taking smart risks and calculated risks, there is nothing that could happen because everybody will always be more comfortable with what they're certain of doing. We are not saying go in the fire and, you know, it's fire. But we are saying is that let's take that smart risk at times, because how will you otherwise truly gauge the temperature? We are taking risks every day, all the time. There is no guarantees. However, in creativity, to flourish, a person has to have that kind of trait within them to be able to move forward and higher in their creative skills. And then you have attention. So with attention, it speaks for itself. If we are not able to have the attention to what is interesting to us that we would like to create, we will never have it into fruition because it will never manifest. And we don't have a surplus of attention. So today, if you are doing your show today, and then you are doing other work and other work and other work and other work, and you are so exhausted by, let's say, 9 p.m., and now you want to start on your creative project, it might not flow as easy because your attention might not be able to be as strong, powerful as it would have been. It's like fuel to the car, you know? You're driving more on empty. So we need attention for anything to really happen. It's like focusing. You know, it goes hand in hand with that. And then we have the G that stands for gallantry, and that is bravery and courage. So me and you create a great program, and we don't have the courage to offer it to the people. And now it's never into existence. So creativity requires courage and bravery. Because we have to test the water. We have to feel the people, what their interest in, how is it serving, how is it solving a problem, and so forth. And that requires us to be able to be okay with failing, with being okay with making mistakes and not being afraid of that. Because culture and society has doomed those who make mistakes, and they're pointed at, like, oh, you know, that you did it wrong, you got it wrong. We don't encourage that, including in the way we take tests, the way a lot of things are happening. And therefore, that is where gallantry has to step in, and we have to step into our creative courage and bravery and take that step and allow ourselves to have what we call failure and identify it with feedback instead. And then we are able to create better. And then you have the E, which is the last of the acronym, and that stands for energy. And again, we need energy to operate. That will require eating well, sleeping well, breathing well, all the things that will associate with us having our energy at its best levels so we can create with the highest level and best quality. And basically, that's very basic. And of course, I go in a lot of more depth on each area with different views and new ideas and some stories that will be very helpful for those who want to understand more each trait separately so they can develop skills in those areas. And that is the purpose of the acronym, is to be used as a tool for people who are curious about creativity and how they can improve, enhance their creative abilities.
Where can someone go to get more information about you, buy your book, and keep up with your latest happenings?
Well, my book will be live on Amazon on Tuesday, June 30th, so they can definitely grab their copies. It is on pre-order on Kindle as we speak. So for those who want to make sure that they got their copies, definitely they can go on Amazon Kindle and hit Optimize Your Creative Mindset, and they'll be able to grab their copies there. Otherwise, Sophie.com is my website. I am also on many social media platforms. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And on Twitter, and I am at Nubani Sophie. And on Instagram, it's Sophie.Nubani. And they can also reach me on the website easy with all that information there for those who might just forget a little or not remember the details.
Wonderful. What is next for you?
Well, my friend, let me say that you mentioned that I'm very soon, in probably about 10 days from today, I'll be receiving officially the completion of my DSD, which is Doctorate of Spiritual Development. I'm very excited about that. I'm also doing my training, trainer, practitioner for NLP, as I will be certifying NLP practitioners and master practitioners to become NLP practitioners. So that is an area that I am also, moving forward with. And the Circle of Creative Masters Institute is an area where a lot of people that like to have the become a certified creative or creatix master to their community organization or company, they're able to get the certification, and that would be my main focus is those areas, and they are very intertwined into each other somehow.
Well, fantastic. As we close the show, since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
A recipe for living. I like how that sounds. I remember reading your book, Johnny Tan, and I really love that you had it in the back where you have. That is really interesting and beautiful. You know, I would say just don't sweat the little things. Life is so beautiful of what we make of it. So create your own magic and explore, evolve, and grow. Allow yourself to continue learning and also to experience new things. Let your spirits be curious. Practice that. It will make you connect with your vitality and your sense of presence. And this way, I would say, be present and create.
Wonderful. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
That is totally beautiful, beautiful. Dr. Sophie, thank you for the great recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, please join me in 2 weeks, Tuesday morning, July 7th. My guest will be Amy Newmark, the publisher and editor-in-chief for Chicken Soup for the Soul. Amy and I will be having a conversation about their latest release for this summer, Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Magic of Cats, 101 Tales of Family, Friendship, and Fun. So, everyone, be ready for some heartwarming, humorous, and completely true stories about our feline friends that will surely touch every cat lover's soul. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening and have a blessed week. Dr. Sophie, it has been a true pleasure. Thank you again, and I wish you much success.
Amen.
For your
Amen.
Book.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I love your show, and I love your guests, and I listen to your podcast. And it is interesting and exciting to hear about what you and Amy are going to be talking about. Did I hear something about magic of cats or something? Did
yes.
I get that right?
Yes. That's
you
right.
You know, I'm an
the
animal lover,
cats.
So that caught my attention. I will be
Wonderful.
Looking forward for that. Blessings. Thank you
Wonderful.
So much. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.